The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 21st chapter. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." Then he said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, "Follow me." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I have to admit, this is a different kind of Sunday. It's a celebration of saints. And if you're not from the Catholic tradition, you might have thought you walked into a Catholic church this morning, and I actually forgot to put on the right color stole. But it's a saint's day. This morning we celebrate the apostles Peter and Paul. And like in the season of Easter, all of our lessons come from the New Testament. There isn't an Old Testament reading this morning. And so it's a little bit unusual this Sunday to be celebrating a couple of saints. But we will, because these two are so prominent in the New Testament. Peter, of course, was a disciple of Jesus while Jesus ministered in his earthly form. Peter, that one of the first disciples that was out fishing, just minding his own business, when Jesus saw him. What did Jesus see in Peter? We don't know. But Jesus said, "You, follow me." And he did. Paul, on the other hand, came around a number of years later. And Paul actually, he knew about Christians because he was really good at persecuting them. I imagine Paul enjoyed a good stoning once in a while. He thought he was doing God a favor. But then Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit, changed Paul from the inside out and said, "Quit persecuting me." Because when you persecute Christians, you're persecuting Jesus. And he said, "Follow me." And it isn't until the book of Acts brings these two men together that we see what a powerful duo they are. The first half of Acts, you see a lot of Peter. Second half of Acts, you see a lot of Paul. And they come together again in Galatians. So this is where it's good to be reading your Bible and identifying people, knowing what they're about. Well, of course you know what these two are about. They were about Jesus. But like all of the great You know, when we were in Sunday school, we called them heroes of the Bible, right? Heroes. All the great heroes weren't. Here's some good news for us today. Is the Bible tells us how often these guys got it wrong. Peter, throughout the Gospels, poor Peter, I think we hear it every time Peter sticks his foot in his mouth. When Jesus was trying to explain the heart of the matter to the disciples, why Jesus had come to the world, you know, he had come to save the world. But all along the way to get saving the world, he was going to suffer and be persecuted and be crucified. Peter's the first one who jumps up and down and says, "No, Lord, that can't be. That just can't be. That's not going to happen. We're not going to let that happen to you." And Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan." Because Peter was thinking in terms of earthly power. And Peter was thinking in terms of things that we cling to, like our very lives. And Jesus said, "No, it's got to be this way." And yet Peter is the one who is most bold in his confession. In John chapter 6, after the feeding of 5,000, Jesus starts telling hard truths. And he starts telling them about his body and his blood and things that are just really hard to wrap your minds around. And after he'd fed the 5,000, plus men, plus women and children, and he's telling these hard sermon moment things, people are leaving by the droves. Just leaving by droves. Okay, he had fed thousands of people. And if you read in John 6, then there were the 12. And Jesus looks at them and says, "Are you guys going to leave me too?" And Peter says, "No. We won't leave you. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." That wonderful line that we sing before the gospel reading. "Lord, whom shall we go? To whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." And that is the message that Peter and Paul proclaimed for as long as God gave them days. Jesus is the one who gives eternal life. And the good news for us again, though, is that these guys weren't perfect. They were just everyday people called by God, just like you and me, called to proclaim Jesus in word and deed. And so we come up to Jesus' crucifixion. And Jesus says, "You know, you're all going to fall away. You're all going to fall away. None of you are going to stay with me." And Peter says, "Not me, Lord. Even if I have to die with you, I won't deny you." And of course, you know the rest of that story. Three times the rooster crowed. And you know, it doesn't change that much in the book of Acts, except that with the presence of the Holy Spirit, they are bold. They are bold. Peter gets his new commission. As Kaylee was telling the children, he gets his new commission after Easter. "Feed my sheep. Feed my flock. Feed my sheep. Tend my lambs. If you love me, do this." And he did with great boldness. After Pentecost, Peter became his name. He became the rock of the church, a foundational preacher. Imagine the early church without Peter's preaching. And Paul's. It was the presence of God within them, though, that made them what they were. Left to their own devices, they were just people, and just people got it wrong. And God kept calling them back, and God kept lifting them up. And they had arguments. Peter and Paul didn't always like each other. I think they would have formed a couple of denominations if they would have had that word back then. But when it comes down to it, it was the proclamation of Jesus. Paul said, "Let me never boast in anything but the cross of Jesus." And that's what fueled their ministry. These guys didn't have any programs in their churches. It was simply the proclamation of the good news that set people free. Set people free. And that's what Jesus announced as his inaugural message, right? I came to set people free, to release the prisoners, to give the blind sight, the lame, the ability to walk. I came to set people free. And that's illustrated in that first lesson that we heard from Acts this morning. Peter's in prison for preaching. Now, if you've read the book of Acts, this happens all the time. They get beat up, they get put in prison, they get up the next morning, they go preach somewhere else. It's the thing I love most about the book of Acts. But here, Peter is in prison. And let me just highlight a couple of the things that Wilbert said just a little bit ago, because it's outrageous. Okay? When we stand up and we read the lessons on Sunday morning, sometimes we forget that what we are being read, what's being read to us is outrageous. Herod, okay, King Herod, had killed James, the brother of John. It closes that chapter. James is now a martyr. And Herod finds out that the people that really, really, really hated Jesus and had him crucified, well, they really enjoyed seeing James crucified too. This is gruesome. This is a part of our Christian history. Herod saw that it pleased them, so he proceeded to arrest Peter too. But here's where the story gets outrageous. Once he'd seized him, he put him in prison and handed him over to four squads of soldiers. Okay, Peter's a fisherman. He's not armed. Four squads of soldiers. And when Peter was in prison, the church prayed fervently. Remember that, church. Your prayers are powerful, because it continues. And then they put two chains on him. Okay, four squads, two sets of chains. Sleeping between two soldiers, while guards in front of the door were keeping watch over the prison. Okay, can you picture? I think if I were to do a children's sermon this morning, it would be putting all of those people in chains around one person. It's ludicrous. He's a preacher, for heaven's sakes. What danger could he be? Unless you know the power of the word. And you know the rest of the story. Suddenly an angel appears and leads him out. You know, the only thing that Peter has to do in this story? Think about it. The only thing Peter has to do in this story is get up and get dressed. The angel says, "Come here. Get dressed. Come here." And Peter thinks he's having a dream. And then he gets outside and realizes this is no dream. I'm out. Again, because this happens throughout the book of Acts, I'm free. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I find it awkward to preach about two men. Even if they were great preachers, I want to tell you their stories, but I want to tell you their stories because they point to the one who sets us free. Whatever enslaves you, whatever burdens you, whatever holds you down, pushes you back, I proclaim to you the one who sets you free. It's Jesus. And the one very special thing that Jesus did for these two men is he changed their names. That's a big thing in the Bible. When your name gets changed, you are a changed person. Remember what happened to Jacob? He became Israel. Well, Paul was Saul, and Peter was Simon. Jesus said, no, you are now the rock, and you are now Paul. And you're going to be making a difference in the world for me. Well, brothers and sisters, your names have also been changed. In the waters of baptism, your name became Christian. You are a Christian, and you have within you the Holy Spirit and the whole power of God. No different than Peter and Paul. You are no different than Peter and Paul. You have the ability to set people free. You have the ability to forgive sins. You have the ability to bring healing. You have the ability to bring peace. You are Christian. No less than Peter and Paul. And you are set free. Claim your freedom. Don't keep sitting in the prison when you know the chains are off. Proclaim your freedom to those who don't know yet, who haven't heard how good the good news is. Peter and Paul share this day. Tradition has it, because they were both martyred. Both martyred on the same day within the same hour, though in very different communities. Paul was beheaded and Peter was crucified. We can never forget that discipleship isn't always easy. It's not always popular. But the presence of the risen Christ through his Holy Spirit is with you and will be forever. May the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.